service, I guess. We can still call it a Christmas Eve service, even though the Christmas Eve service will be coming a little bit later today. You are all, of course, invited back for that later and at 6 o'clock, and we are excited for that time here, too, as we continue to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah, the celebration of when Jesus came into this world to be born as a baby, to live the life that he lived, to die the death, the sacrificial and atoning death for you and I, and to rise again so that you and I may have the hope and the assurance of eternal life as well. And that's, you know, some people say, well, that's Easter stuff. And I say, well, the whole purpose for Jesus even coming, the reason why we celebrate Christmas was because of what he would eventually do. And so we keep that in mind this Christmas season as well. Special welcome to our visitors. We're glad you are here. Feel free to sign a guest book. Our guest book that we have back in the entryway, you can fill out a blue card that's in your pews also and hand that off to an usher. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better too. If you have any prayer requests, there are yellow cards in your pews, and you can fill out those prayer requests and give that to an usher also, and they will hand those off to me so that I can pray for them later in the service. We don't have too much by way of announcements other than the special holiday season. There isn't a whole lot going on around here. Our regular schedule of events for the most part is suspended until after the new year. You can see in your bulletin there in the insert that we do have coffee and cookies afterwards. So feel free to stick around for that time of fellowship if you are able. And then, like I said, come back again tonight. We will have our Christmas Eve candlelight service. I'm excited about that time here. It's going to be just a beautiful service. We have lots of music planned. And of course, we'll have the traditional candlelight experience there too, and singing Silent Night together. So we're excited for that. Other than that, have a Merry Christmas tomorrow. And enjoy those times with your family, with your loved ones, and friends, and then as the week moves on, really the only things that are scheduled have to do with the Patenode family. I'm not quite sure yet if they will be here in the service with us next Sunday. We will officially introduce them 2 weeks from today on the 7th of January, excuse me. But either way, they are moving into town this coming week. And so if you are able to head over to their house, the house that we have rented for them on Wednesday at 6:30 for some cleaning, it's going to be pretty minor cleaning. The house is in pretty good shape, but we want to give it a good scrub down here before they move in. And so come for that. There's an announcement in here about that also, including the address. And so if you're wondering where to go, please keep this green sheet and look for the address in there, as well as some instructions for that. And then Friday at 1 is move-in day. And I saw on Facebook that Ryan is already nervous about the friends he's going to be making, choosing a move-in day where I think the high is still going to be below zero. So if you are coming out for that, wear warm clothes. And also, I would encourage you to come out for that and to encourage him and his family and show them how tough us North Dakotans are here as well, even though we'll be in Minnesota, I guess. So Minnesotans can be tough, too. Let's see. I think we have a good number of people kind of planning to come already, but the more the merrier. And I'm not quite sure, and I'm looking for some help. Is there a point person if there are questions? Is that you? Okay, so talk to Nathaniel if you have any questions about the move-in day on Friday this coming week as well. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I missed? Okay, and if not, then let's open our worship service by hearing a verse here from Isaiah chapter 40. Go up onto a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Let's stand and sing our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Thank you.
You may be seated. We are so excited that Christ has come, as were the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and a host of others. Luke 1:47 says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Let's rejoice together this morning.
Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." We'll be singing verses 1-4 of "Let All Together Praise Our God." Appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's from Luke 2:9. The last one we'll be singing today is "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Thank you.
Skipping ahead a little bit in my head, one of the challenges of a pastor this time of year is that there are so many different sermons and things like that that sometimes it gets hard to keep track of them in my head. But for whatever it's worth, you'll get a little preview of tonight's message. And we're going to be talking about the way in which Jesus came and the utter and sheer humility with that he took on. And he did that for you and for me, coming into the frankly the garbage, the trash, the insecurities, the sins, the messiness of our life. And he did that because he loves you so much and wanted to come and to rescue you, to save you. And that's why I think even as I was thinking and sitting there about confession of sin and declaration of grace and things like that this time of year, to me it is such a poignant picture for us in our minds and in our hearts of what Jesus actually came to do for us this Christmas. He came to come into the mess of our life and the sin and to take that on himself and to sacrifice our sin on the cross so that we might be cleansed. And so that is an intimately personal reality of Christmas. This is why he came. I would encourage you and invite you to open yourself up, open your heart to the Lord here, confess your sins, confess that you need a Savior, and then hear his good news that he does come and he does cleanse you and make you whole. Let's confess our sins together. You'll find that confession in your bulletin, also on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to confess that we have sinned against you in our words, actions, and our thoughts. We come to ask your forgiveness and to seek your great mercy. We come to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, not our own. Look so that we may be cleansed our iniquity, but wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ so that we may be clean before you. This we pray in his name. Amen. That prayer there, wash us in the blood of Jesus so that we may be clean before you. Hear these words of Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, he forgives us our sin. He cleanses us from all sin and iniquity. He makes us white as snow. We thank him. We praise him for that today. Amen. This time I'll call on Tim Nadwick to come and read our scripture.
Our first reading for today is from Romans chapter 16, 25 through 27. Will you please rise for the reading of God's word? Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Let's confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Is where home is for me. Where is home for you? Or specifically this time of year, will you be going home for Christmas? And it's not a bad question. It's just always that I've struggled to answer it because we moved around quite a bit when I was a kid. And Mom and Dad have been currently living in a community that I have zero ties to. And now Dad's retiring next week and they're moving to the Twin Cities area. And maybe that someday will be home for us. I have no idea. I'm always content and happy to say that Fargo is my home. But people like to think of a place to go back to, right? For the kids, it was grandpa and grandma's, even though that was never home for them. But one of the reasons you bring your kids to grandpa and grandma's is because that was, and in many ways still is, home. Probably the most honest answer when I'm talking about home in this world. And obviously, as Christians, we believe and we're excited that our home is ultimately heaven with Jesus. But in terms of here in this world, for me, home is wherever my family is. And really, I think that's what most people would say, right? And oftentimes, that does correspond to a physical location because many families don't move much once they settle down. But ultimately, when we do think about what makes going home special, is that it's the family that we get to be with. Humans are relational beings. And I'm not talking about being critical of you introverts, any of you that may be here. You're great people. But mankind was created for fellowship with God. And that speaks to the great consequence of the fall of man, sin that separates us from God. We were made to be with God, and because of sin, that relationship is broken. Sin's ultimate consequence shuts a person out from home, from heaven. And hell is eternal separation from God, from heaven, from home. You know, one of the marks of the Christmas season, like we have just said, is going home for Christmas. It's represented by the iconic Bing Crosby song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." People go home for Christmas, and it's exciting and it's beautiful. Many of you may be traveling today or tomorrow to go home for Christmas, or maybe some are here who have traveled here for Christmas because here is home. The shocking and glorious truth of Christmas is that home came to find us. God sent home here to this earth. When we're talking about home in terms of fellowship, and in particular then when it comes to our relationship with the Lord and our fellowship with God, our eternal home, the eternal separation is bridged because God came to us. Christmas isn't so much about us going as much as it is God coming here. God explains that in our text. In 2 Samuel 7, David had recently become king of Israel. Saul had died. David had defeated the Philistines, not the David and Goliath episode. That happened much earlier. He defeats them again here in chapter 6. And then he brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem with the enemies of Israel now defeated. Verse 1 in chapter 7 says that the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest. David's kingdom is being established now in Jerusalem, and one day he looks around and he says to Nathan the prophet, you know, I live in a house of cedar, but the Ark of God dwells in a tent. This isn't right in David's mind. A cedar house would be equivalent to a palace built of expensive and extravagant materials. I'm living in a mansion, David says, God's in a tent. Now, I personally really like tents, but it is true that living in a tent probably just isn't as nice as living in a large, beautiful home. So David decides, now that he's getting settled, he's at peace, he's not fighting his enemies anymore, we're at peace now, we're getting established here in Jerusalem, I'm going to build a proper home for God. I'm going to build a temple. Nathan, you who maybe recognize as the one who confronts David after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, that's just a few chapters later, says, yeah, good idea, David. Go, do what's in your heart. The Lord be with you. However, this was not something that God had revealed to Nathan. This was Nathan kind of flying off the cuff a little bit with his own feelings. And so in verse 4 of our text, that next night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Nathan, God says, go tell David. Thus says the Lord. There's the first time that phrase is used. It's a powerful introduction. This is God's word. What does God say? Thus says the Lord, and here's my paraphrase, follow along if you have your Bibles. God says, are you going to build me a house? I haven't lived in a house this whole time. I've been moving about in this tent. I never instructed anyone else to build me a house of cedar, a mansion. God's question there, are you going to build me a house, implies a negative answer. It's a little bit sarcastic, if you can hear that. Twice in the book of 1 Chronicles, God says to David, you are not going to build me a house. The reason God gives here in 2 Samuel is that he hasn't been in a house. He's been in a tent. It's what he set up and ordained, and that's because it gives that appearance. It marks that God travels with his people. I move with all the people of Israel, verse 7. And if this would have been an issue, God says, I would have taken care of it with the judges. There was going to be a time for a temple. There is a practical function to build church buildings. But as far as David goes at this point, this isn't the time. And God has a point to make about that. He uses this opportunity to explain to David, and because it's in the Bible, to you and me too, to explain to us who builds God's home and what that even means. Look at verse 8. There it is again, thus says the Lord, but this time he adds of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all, the God of the universe. I, God, took you, David, from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. I, God, have been with you wherever you went. I've cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make for you a great name. Like the name of the great ones of the earth, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. I will give you rest for your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. This reminds me of the rhetorical question, but really it's more than just rhetorical. It's valid and a literal question. Is there anything we can give to God that he doesn't already have? Think about that. Is there anything that you can do for God that he can't do on his own? Is Christianity primarily about what we do for God or what God does for us? That is a very relevant question that needs to be addressed here. David was talking about a house in terms of a luxurious temple. God, I'm going to do this for you so that you have a home that we can go to, where we can find you. And using the analogy that I mentioned right away in the sermon of home as a relationship, okay, like I said earlier, home for Christmas is relational. Home is where your family is. So God, in this sense, I'm going to build this house so that we know where you are so we can be with you. I'm going to build you a temple. I'm going to build this relationship. Christian life then for you and me becomes what I can do for God. This is everywhere. It's in sermons, Christian messages. That question should be a litmus test for you in any sermon or message you hear. And I mean that. Is the theme of the sermon primarily about what we do for God or what God does for us? Practice that. Try that sometime. Do that here. Hold me and our new intern accountable to that. When you're driving in the car listening to Christian radio, ask yourself, is what I'm hearing mostly about what I can or should or need to do or what God has done? Thus says the Lord. God is saying, my home is mobile because I go with my people. Home is with his people because our home with God, our relationship with God is about who he is and what he has done. God brings this relationship to you. David, you don't need a temple to know where to find me. I find you like I did in the pasture when you were tending sheep. God builds this home, this relationship. Yes, we do good works. We follow God's law, and we should follow God's law. But people use that then to dismiss what God's word says here. It has to do really with a faulty understanding of sanctification. It has to do with our natural desire to do, to be like God, to work for our salvation or our status with God. We should do good works. We do good works. But we do them not so that we can ascend this ladder of holiness, to be more like God, to go to God. We do them because of the praise and thanksgiving that flows out of our hearts for what God has done for us. For David, because he took him out of the pasture and made him a prince, because God cut him off from his enemies, because he promised to make his name great, and because he promised to make him a house. Christmas is about God coming to earth and dwelling with mankind and saving them from their sins. You shall call his name Jesus, the angel said to Mary, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the message of Christmas. It's the message of Christianity. It's what God further explains here when he says that he will make David a house. We got to skip down to verse 16 for that. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The only way a home, a family can last forever is if a family member lives forever. This is why Jesus came from the house and lineage of David. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise right here. I will build you a house. I will give you Jesus. John 1:14, the word, and there's going to be a bunch of verses in here. Please hear this. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to read that verse tonight when we light our candles. Think about what that says. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Earlier in John 1, and in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word became flesh. God became flesh. God came to us and dwelt with us. Do you know what the word there is for dwelt? When it says that God came to dwell with us? It's tent. It's tabernacle. That's what the tent was called that God resided in that he mentioned earlier. Jesus, Christmas, is God coming and tenting with us. Because he goes where we go. He is always with us. Christmas is God coming and tenting with us, tabernacling with us. Even if the tabernacle itself here becomes a picture of Christ because it represents, it was the presence of God. Later in God's time, a temple would be built. But when Jesus came, he said, Jesus himself said, the temple isn't where you go to find God. I'm here, Jesus said. I came to find you, to seek and to save you. He calls himself the temple, the presence of God. In John chapter 2, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He's talking about himself and his death and resurrection. He is the one who came to bring the presence of God to us. He made a home for us himself. He brought home to us. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. For those who love him, or Peter says, for those who believe, for those who are trusting in his salvation, his work, Peter calls us living stones being built up as a spiritual house. Built on the cornerstone, identified as Christ himself in the book of Ephesians. Paul calls us there in Ephesians members of God's household. Built on the foundation of God's word with Christ as the cornerstone. He brought home here. And in him, in faith in him, we, the whole structure, temple, family, home, are being joined together and growing together, being built together into a dwelling place for God. Home has come to us. God dwells with us. Home. Relation with him is what Christ came to build when he was born at Christmas. Hebrews calls us his house, we who hold to Jesus. Our confidence, our hope, the promise of the book of Revelation and heaven. And the book uses this language too. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, look, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will be his, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Home comes to us. God builds a house. He builds us a house, a family, a relationship with him that he says to David in verse 16, "And to us, that house I'll build, it'll be made sure forever." This is Christmas. An eternal home. That's what God came to build for us. And he did it when he sent Jesus to come. Joy to the world. That's why we sing it then. Why? Do you remember? Joy to the world. The Lord has come to us. This is what that means. An eternal home. Listen to how David responds when Nathan relays this message. And I'll close with this. This would be my prayer for me, today, tonight, tomorrow. My prayer for you also. In light of the coming of Christ, in light of Christmas, in light of what he does for us, when he comes to make a home for us, to build a house for us that will last forever. If that's what Christmas is, that's the message that David received here from God. My prayer is that our hearts would echo these precious words. 2 Samuel 7, starting at verse 18. "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me so far? Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, and you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever? And you, O Lord, became their God." This is David basking in the glory of God and praising his name for what he has done. That's our response to what God has done. It's love and thanksgiving and joy. It's the Christian life. And now David says, "O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken, and your name will be magnified forever. And now, O Lord God, you are God. Your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant." Amen. Let's sing a prayer. Hymn number 11, "Savior of the Nations, Come." A beautiful prayer. I would encourage you and invite you to hear the words of this hymn. Hymn number 11, "Savior of the Nations, Come."